Kia ora and welcome back to the show. And it's time for one of my favourite segments of the week. It is the Scorpio Books Spotlight. And after quite a hiatus, Rebecca is with us
Thank
today.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm really looking forward to talking. It's been October since
October.
I was here.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
So much has happened since.
So much has happened since. And we have such a plethora of fabulous staff at the moment who are wanting to do the review. So it's really great.
It has been fun having a wee variety of people.
Yeah.
And the wide net cast amongst all of them when it comes to kind of genre and topics and all
yes,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But in your very signature move, you've got a pile of books for
I
us
have a
today.
Pile of books, I know. I hope it doesn't annoy too many people who are listening out there, but there's hopefully something for everyone here.
No, I like that. So just start. Like,
okay,
we're
just going to start. So the first one I'm going to talk about is Dickens and Prince by Nick Hornby. Have a look.
Mm-hmm, okay.
It's a kind of comparison long-form essay on the genius of both Dickens and Prince.
Oh, okay.
And so it's like, it's about work. And he reckons that nobody ever worked harder or at a higher standard while connecting with so many people for so long.
Okay.
So they were both 58 when they died. And had produced such a huge body of work. So, like, Hornby asks, where did their magic come from and how did they work so hard and produce so much and did their creativity kill them? He traces their extraordinary lives with wit, curiosity, and deep admiration. And I loved it. It was such a good read.
Oh, yeah, I think this would be fair. And it's not particularly big either.
No, it's only like 100 and, like, I don't know, 10 pages or something. It's such a good read. He's done so much research. He's got pictures of both of them on his wall at home that he looks at to inspire him because they worked so hard. And, like, he's got a little graph there of the 80s and or when they were in their 20s and how much they produced. I mean, look.
Yeah, wow. And some of this is such incredibly famous work as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so prolific. Yeah. So it's really interesting. So if you're into Dickens or if you're into Prince or if you're into both of them, it's a real must read.
I think what a clever kind of comparison. I'm so going to read this.
Excellent. I'm glad you are. That's great. So the next book is called The Golden Mole and Other Living Treasure. It's by Catherine Rundle.
And it's golden.
It is golden.
It? Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. Catherine Rundle is just a glorious author. She writes children's books and also she's a fellow at Oxford.
All Souls College.
Yeah.
What a lovely name.
Isn't it lovely? I know. The book is made up in part of moments where we have collided with living things in both joy and destruction, delight, grandeur, and folly. So there's 17 animals, including the human. All are endangered or have a subspecies that is endangered.
Mm-hmm.
And the book tries to remind us of that we live in a world of such miracles and there is far more in the world we don't understand than we do. It's a did you know book. So like you want to share the details with someone. It's just beautiful to read. Just a couple of pages about each animal.
And
some of the animals are, you know, there are none that are extinct in there, but all of them are, well, very endangered. And the golden mole has never actually, the actual tiniest little golden mole has never actually been seen. But there are, I think she said there's 70 varieties of golden mole, all that live in the sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay.
It's really truly gorgeously illustrated book as well.
Yeah, it's stunning. What an interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there it is, the golden mole. Wow, what a fantastic idea for a book.
Yeah, so if anyone just likes to read about other creatures, and not in a negative way either. I mean, there are some sad parts in it, obviously, because we humans are so destructive. And did you realise that 70% of the world's species have declined in the last 50 years? Because of we lovely humans?
70%. You've got to wonder what the effects of that is.
I know.
Don't you?
Isn't that? It's just like, ugh, we are horrible people sometimes.
Yeah,
but we're all so fabulous.
I know. It's Humans are complex, aren't we?
We are, we are.
We're a bit of both.
This next one's just a little quick Aotearoa Christchurch architecture. It's a walking guide, and it's a new edition, handy pocket guide to self-guided tours of the significant Christchurch buildings. There's 6 walking routes, Parkside, Riverside, South, East, North and Islam Campus. So this has actually been out for a few years, but it's just been reissued. It's been updated with some of the newer buildings. It's a really fabulous little guide
for people who
maybe just really like architecture, but also who want to wander around the city and have a look at architecture. And great for if you've got people coming to the city and, take a little walking tour.
Yeah, this would be so handy if you're from out of town.
Yeah.
And beautiful photography in it as well.
Yeah, really great. This next one is brand new. I think it just came in yesterday. It's the new book by Salman Rushdie called Victory City. And it's the epic tale of a woman who breathes the fantastical empire into existence, only to be consumed by it over the centuries. I know, it sounds worse than it is. So, so 9-year-old Pampa Kampana becomes a vessel for the goddess Parvati in 14th century southern India, and she is instrumental in the rise of a great city called Biznaga, literally Victory City, and it's the wonder of the world. And her life becomes deeply interwoven with Biznaga's over the next 250 years, from its formation to its tragic ruination.
Mm.
And it's a brilliantly styled translation of an ancient epic, a saga of love, adventure and myth. So, yeah, so I think that's something that's wonderful about Salman Rushdie, is that he does take some of the fabulous Indian epics or sagas and sort of just translates them into a sort of a more modern themed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, an incredible writer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, very exciting. I haven't read it yet. It just came in literally, and I plucked it yesterday and went,
cool. I'm glad you did, actually.
Really super.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be a great book.
The next book is Eleanor Catton's Burnham Wood, which...
Is she Eleanor Catton?
Oh, my goodness.
The Luminaries.
The Luminaries, right? Done. And also The Rehearsal, her first book. She's also wrote the screenplay for the latest incarnation of Emma. On recently. And she did the screenplay also for The Luminaries that was on the television, TV series
well.
But if you haven't heard of this book yet, or if you haven't read it, it's a must read. It's a total propulsive thriller. Shakespearean in its wit and drama. It's brilliantly constructed characters and its unflinching examination of the human impulse to ensure our own survival just totally captures you right from the very beginning.
Yeah, and right.
You just go, she just develops her characters so much, gives them an incredible backstory and interweaves them so beautifully together.
Mm.
Quite spectacularly done. It is a thriller. It's an environmental thriller. It's a really interesting sort of, how would you describe, the rich against the environmental people who are, or the do-gooders, and both of them kind of do-gooders, but in their own way, ruining the environment. It's sort of a satire on politicians and rich people who buy the land, and then it's also a satire on the environmental ecologists who can't do without their cell phones and the internet and that sort of thing as well. So, you know, it sort of brings them all together to this quite massive, amazing climax. So, really, really excellent. It's actually our book of the month at the moment. There's heaps of them in the shop. Totally worth it if you haven't read it yet. I'm sure lots of the people listening have read it or are reading it, and maybe hopefully are agreeing with me on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only flicking through this, but some of the dialogue in it is very punchy and rich, and
it sure is. She's just a fabulous writer, and like reading it, you kind of go, "Oh, this could quite easily be an amazing TV series or a spectacular movie." You could just see the characters on the screen.
Yeah. And for our audience out there, if you're intimidated by the size of The Luminaries, because it was a rather large book.
Yeah, yeah.
This one's Not as massive.
It's probably a third.
Yeah. Oh, and set in New Zealand as well.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's in an imaginary place.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Yeah.
But you can kind of, it is, this is the South Island high country, but in an imaginary place.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And this last book is actually a kid's book. It's one of our latest fabulous incarnations of sort of fantasy, but reality fantasy,
yeah,
I guess.
Right.
So it sort of has the familiar tropes of an orphan boy, a boarding school, and a bunch of friends. But
I mean, you can't go wrong with it.
You sure can't. But this is so different because this is it's set in a school where the students are trained in forgery, deception, and crimnastics. So great. And also that one day they will go out into the world and do good. And so it's about Gabriel. He lives with his grandma. He's a talented pickpocket, and he pickpockets just for them to survive because they're not particularly well off. He's an outsider, and he's recruited to attend the secret Crookhaven along with a crew of multi-talented misfits. They aim to win the infamous Crooked Cup competition.
Oh, I love that.
And
movie.
It's, yeah, and so no first year's ever achieved this. It's a really good read for Harry Potter fans, and book two comes out in August. It's just, you know, as sometimes you read these kind of books, and the usual tropes are there, but they sort of fall flat.
Yeah,
and this one doesn't. This one's got lots of really good lift in it.
Oh, cool. And, oh, brilliant. Yeah.
If anyone's looking for a great book for their sort of like 8, 9, 10 to 14-year-old, this is a really great read.
Yeah. I can tell. I'd love this now, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I love reading the kids' books because they're so exciting.
Oh, exactly. Okay, why don't you go through them all for us one more time?
Yep. So the first one is Dickens and Prince by Nick Hornby. The second one is The Golden Mole and Other Living Treasure by Catherine Rundell. Otatahi Christchurch Architecture, A Walking Guide by John Walsh. And Victory City by Salman Rushdie. And Burnham Wood by Eleanor Catton. And Crookhaven, The School for Thieves by J.J. Arcanjo.
It'd
be Arcanjo, yeah.
Well, what a wonderful collection of
a
books.
A little treasure
here.
Trove.
Yeah. Oh, some of those I'd love to
read. Would you like to take a photo of some so that it reminds you?
Yes, I will. Dickens and Prince, though. That's got to be at the start of my list right there.
Yeah.
Need to remember this one. It's so funny you tell me to take a photo because I am like that as well.
Yeah.
Where I just have to, I imagine the front cover of the book and I'm like, can't remember anything else about it.
No, I do the same. I take photos of books all the time to remind myself.
Oh, The Golden Mile. That one's stunning. I haven't seen a book that beautiful in a long time.
Yeah, either. It is. Yeah, the illustrations are by someone called Talia Baldwin. I haven't heard or of hers before. It's gorgeous because it has all of this beautiful gold
edges. Gold themes throughout the whole thing, really.
Yeah, it's just a gorgeous book to have forever. Look. Anyway.
And we should all learn about, you know, the destruction of animals. It's not a lovely topic, but
this is actually beautifully written. It's not it's not a book about how terrible we are as humans. It is really about how spectacular these animals are.
Cool.
And then there's a little bit of, you know, what we've done to them, but how still quite spectacular and special they are, and how some of them come back from the brink, and also what some of we humans do to help them not
be.
Oh,
that's nice. Okay, good.
But there's some really great stories in them as well.
Well, hey, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
You're most welcome, Liam. It's always a pleasure.
It's wonderful to have you back in here after many months.
Yes, thank you. It's been wonderful to be here.
And hope to see you again soon.
Sure will. See you.